So, Sanhedrin 27b, we're quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing here. It enumerates which relatives of a person are disqualified from testifying or as serving as judges in matters concerning him. Who is not allowed to be a judge or and a witness? So we'll just start with the beginning. These are the relatives. One's brother, his father's brother, his mother's brother. Obviously, you got to recuse yourself in these situations. Going further, excuse me, in the Mishnah, toward the end of it, one whose friend and one whose enemy, one's close friend and one's enemy, are also disqualified to judge or testify about him. Open Mishnah. Doesn't know what an enemy is, doesn't know what a friend is, but they are openly disqualified. Now, as the Mishnah says, what's an oyev? A close friend is a groomsman. A groomsman. What's an enemy? Someone who he did not speak to for 3 days out of enmity. Now, that was the first rabbi in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda. The rabbis disagree. So we have a statement that a groomsman is a friend. Someone you didn't speak to for 3 days because of that is an enemy, and they are disqualified. And the rabbi said, no, not true. Why? The Jewish people are not suspected of this, to bear false witness about someone out of love or animosity. 23. Thus, this, now, look, it's not close to how we start. We started the Mishnah by saying who's disqualified as a witness and or as a judge. A brother, an uncle, a this, a that, an enemy, and a friend.
That was from last week.
That right?
That last week.
Yeah, so we're actually returning to something. So now, the next question, something in my throat. So now the Mishnah says that the rabbis say, no. We don't accuse someone of testifying falsely. So an enemy and a friend are allowed to testify. The nuance is, as Oscar correctly quotes, the sages do not disqualify a person from testifying simply because of feelings. They argue that a person's enemy, though, may not judge. It means they're only arguing on the testifying part. They say a guy's not going to make up stories. But when it comes to being a judge, that's different. Because judge, you have to have a clarity of thought. And the bottom line, people are not so clear. On an event that occurred, if you're testifying, we trust you whether you like the guy or don't like the guy. That's what the rabbis say. Even though we wouldn't, but they do. They say, listen, you can claim my friend never pulled the trigger. You can say that we trust you. But as a judge, you have to be impartial. So we have an open argument in the Mishnah, relevant to judging as opposed to testifying, which means simply, of course, that means to be a judge is a higher standard than being a testifier, right? Now, the Gemara right after that. Good. The Gemara right after that says, by the way, just for the record, how long is the groomsman disqualified for? The guy who watches you the day of your wedding.
Just the best man, or is it the whole crew? It's like you have some.
Here it's a singular groomsman. I don't know if that means anything. But look what it says here. He's only disqualified for the 7 days of the festivities or the day of the wedding. So your friends aren't your friends that long. For a free meal by the wedding. That's about it. Enemy, and a quote to Pasuk, and a whole drasha here, which we're not going into. And the rabbis say, so we have now a rule that the rabbis disagree, and the rabbis say like this. They could testify, but they cannot be a judge. An enemy or a friend cannot be a judge. That's what it says. What type of enemy? It gives extreme cases. The enemy is someone you don't talk to for 3 days, and a friend is the groomsman. That is all in Sanhedrin. In Ksuvis, a different Gemara, 105b, 105b says like this, Rava stated, and this is talking about when it comes to you cannot be a judge for someone and take a bribe. What is taking a bribe in Judaism? If I hold out your hand and say, listen, I'll help you cross over the shaky ground. Disqualified as a judge, because now we're saying, to be a judge, high standards. Friends can testify, friends can't be a judge. Enemies can testify, can't be a judge. Don't take a bribe, doesn't mean when I put under the table an envelope full of cash. Don't take a bribe, the Gemara 105b has a crazy amount of cases here. Crazy amount of cases of what's called a bribe. And a bribe is not how we look at it. To be disqualified as a judge, even something that's telling me I'll help you cross, even someone who flicks a bug off your shoulder, out. Then the Gemara says, why? Because as soon as someone receives something good from someone, he is well disposed toward him. And if he becomes like his own person, he can't see the truth. Now,
is that okay? At any point in their life, he did a good deed for him?
I have to think about that. Good question. It sounds like yes, but I have to think about that.
So you basically can never have anything to do with it.
No, the Rambam says, we don't have it because we ran out of time. The Rambam says you have to have two strangers come in front of you. I don't know how big you think you are, but I would say 99.9% of the world you've never met. Is that a fair, accurate statement?
Smaller community, no.
Small community, but still. So basically, so when it comes to judges, you gotta be very impartial. That's what it says. Then,
I have
now,
a question.
Yes.
It's halakha. If somebody gives you a blessing, right? You say amen. Now, what if the person, a defendant or plaintiff, says to the judge, gives it a bracha?
There are many cases that the Talmud over there talks about of what people would come in. In fact, we quoted the story one time about the Mincha Sinach. The Mincha Sinach has a story. It's a legend. It's brought down in different ways. It is quoted in the beginning of my book when I quote the history of the Mincha Sinach, and I quote like four different sources because the story is a little different in each case. But basically, the story is two guys came to one time when he switched from, you know, in the old days, rabbis didn't stay long in towns. They went from town A to town B to town C to town D, and he was in the town. Two guys came. They told him, do you remember us? You should know we were part of the people, the good old days. They were discussing the good old days. And at one point, they said to him, you know that we helped you get that job originally. He's like, okay. By the way, what do you guys you know, came to visit me to shoot the breeze? Like, what's going on here? They said, no, we have a case. No. You're out. You're disqualified. Now, I don't know if there is a time limit. Are they disqualified because they brought up the case now, or they're disqualified because 10 years earlier they did them a favor? I think that's doing that case. If there is a time, I have a feeling there's no time. I think there's no expiration date on favors for people. But I guess it has to be. But the Talmud has a lot of stories here of like, what you would think is bare minimum. We've discussed in the past as well. What's called a favor to a guy? If you're about to fall off a bridge and I grab you, okay, so I saved your life. You're pretty happy about that, right? But sometimes, is that a favor to you? That's just bare minimum of what a human being is supposed to do for each other. Either way, disqualified. Now, Rav Papa in this Gemara has a very interesting thing. Rav Papa says a man should not, this is all in the laws of bribery. Rav Papa said a man should not act as a judge, either for one who he loves or one who he hates. For no man can see the guilt of one he loves or the merit of one he hates. Now, what's interesting about this Talmudic passage here is that when we read the Mishnah and we read the Gemara, for those who came on time, not hinting to anybody specifically, it said here that an enemy and a friend, a good friend, are disqualified, but it gave an added detail. What was the added detail? The added detail was a friend means someone who's a groomsman, and an enemy, someone you didn't talk to in 3 days. Here, a Papa did not say that. So it became a debate. We're going back now 700, 800 years now. If a judge, let's go step by step. Let's say, there's going to be different debates. Let's say a judge, we find out that he was a friend or an enemy of the guy, and he makes a ruling, for or against. Is the ruling stand? That's first argument. That means, is he disqualified or he shouldn't do it? That's step one. There's a debate going back 800 years. As well, the great debate is, there's step number one, when the guy's a real enemy, 3 days no talking, a real friend, groomsman. What about the secondary set of people? He didn't mention it. I consider you a friend, but guess what? I have not yet been groomsman at your wedding. Hopefully very soon, right? Amen. Keeves were out. I was Keeves' groomsman, right? So by Keeves' wedding, I'm out. So now the question, here he didn't say it. So the next question is going to be, let's say you have that type of level, friend, enemy, as well. Is that not allowed because biblically not allowed? Or not allowed because it's like a midas chasidus, it's a nice thing to do. So we have two serious arguments here. We know an enemy and a friend is out. Step one, is enemy and friend out, disqualified out, or don't do it, but if you judge, it's okay. Step two, we know the real enemy and friend is out. What about that next step? Is that biblically out, or is that only good idea? This led to the question we started 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, actually, for one of the first times ever, I'm actually following through. I have to be honest. Most of the time, I don't.
Just coming, get ready.
Actually, I am. And it's funny you both remembered it, so it's good I did it. We asked the question 2 weeks ago. We have a biblical obligation. Now, by the way, the disqualification for what's called a friend and enemy is biblical. Right? We're not going through the whole Talmud now, but if you look at the Talmud on 29a in Sanhedrin, it quotes a verse. It's a biblical violation. These people know verse here, but that's a biblical violation. Okay, so my friend, like Akiva, I was his groomsman. If it applies, keeps him married more than a year and a half. Whoa, ooh, he's aging. I'm trying to make myself younger as well. It wasn't just for you, but okay, that was clear more than a year and a half ago. Yeah, exactly. So we have all of that. Fine. Okay, now goes this question: we have an obligation, biblical law. That's we spoke about 2 weeks ago. You have an obligation to love a Jew. Now, we said last time, it's not an obligation to love the person who happens to be a Jew. It's an obligation to love a person because he's a Jew, 2 weeks ago. Fine. So I saw this question. At first, it shocked me, by the way. I got to be honest. I thought it was like silly-ish. And then I realized you got to be careful because it's written by grand rabbis 350, 400 years ago. They have this question. Almost what he was saying. If you're not allowed to, if you're disqualified to be a judge of a friend in the word in the Gemara is called an oyev, someone you love. That's the word in Hebrew. And we have an obligation to love every Jew. You should be disqualified in every single case. There's no such thing as a judicial system anymore. The judicial system fell apart. So you were coming from the attitude that everyone did a favor to me. And then we proved you have no friends. But and the reality is, it doesn't make a difference. When I meet you, I love you. Chabad, you love everybody. So how are you going to become a judge? Any guy walks in front of you wearing a yarmulke, even not a yarmulke, the guy, you automatically love him. That was the question asked 400 years ago. How is it possible for anyone to be a judge if there's obligation biblically to love a Jew?
Obligation biblically to also do this.
So you got to figure it out. Either
how do they go up against each other?
That's the question, yes.
Yeah.
So answer number one. There's going to be a couple different answers, and we'll do our questions on the answers, and don't worry, we're going to end soon. Start it late. Answer number one is that when it says, we'll see if it's clear. When it says, are you not allowed to be, when you are disqualified for a judge, for a friend or a foe, the question now becomes, what about when there's two friends and two foes? That means if I have Akiva against a stranger, I'm disqualified because I like Akiva. But if I have Akiva and I have Garbo, so wait a second, I like you both. I'm gonna return to being impartial. Oh, so some want to say, answer number one, they want to say, oh, that's the problem then. But you jumped ahead, correct. Answer number one is going to be like this. My obligation of Yahavta Recha Kamoicha is equal. I don't have to love you more than Akiva. I don't have to love Akiva more than you. I got to love every Jew. There's no levels. So it's equated. So when it's equated, we throw out the disqualification. But it's not so clear. But what about two regular people that I like? That becomes a great debate. When I like you and I like you, can we say you're okay because it's equated? Or do you say no, no, no? In that case, there's different levels. I like Garbo, but I like Akiva more. Until Garbo makes me his groomsman, he's a little less. So there's two questions now. There's a general question, can you have two enemies and two friends? Some say it's okay. Those say it's not okay, like Garbo said, why? Because it's not equated. And then they want to switch it to the next level. Can we say all Jews are equated? That is true, though. That means even if you say two friends, two foes, not allowed, two Jews, yes, allowed, because two Jews are equated. Are you with me? Can't believe that. Yes.
The half Larecha Kamocha, right?
Wait, before the answer. I want to finish on this thought, then we'll go to that one. So this is what some want to say. Equated, all Jews are equated equally. Therefore, you're back to equilibrium. Hubner's question is going to be, are all Jews equal love? I don't know. You know why? Because 2 weeks ago, when we spoke about having this class now, we said there's an obligation to love every Jew. What was the other obligation we spoke about? Love a convert. And you have to love the convert because he's a Jew. Same idea. So wait a second. If you have a convert ever coming to grace, then you're not equal anymore. It's terrible. I got like something stuck here. If you're having two regular Jews that you like, two friends you play basketball with, or two friends you play basketball against, it's okay. Then we have a question. Do we equilibrium? Oh, all Jews are the same. Yes. That's not true, though. That answer won't work for all Jews against a convert. So the only way you'll be able to judge a convert is two converts against each other. That would be equated again. But how would you have a case of a convert versus a non-convert? Because you're going to have to love the convert more than the Jew. What's your answer before we get to the next answer?
My answer is that the Haftarah of Mocha is that we do fulfill the judicial system the way that the Torah wants us to. Meaning...
On the right track, on the right track.
That is the Haftarah of Mocha. Because that... whatever is the ruling is an expression of the Haftarah of Mocha.
You're on the right track. I'm not sure exactly, but you're there on the right track. But it's like, okay, so we'll do that answer next.
Not in your favor. Even the ruling is not in your favor. It's still behalf of the Kamocha for that person, because that is the MS, that is the truth, and that's behalf of for you, even though you're now guilty. And it's behalf of the Kamocha for the guy who's not guilty.
Hold on 1 second. I think we're going to go into that. That was the fourth answer.
I have a question, which is, why do you love a convert more again?
Oh, so the question is, I don't like the word more. But I said more before, so I thought it's a good question. There is a separate, of the 613 commandments, there is a separate obligation to love the convert. That means when you have a list of the 613 commandments, there is a commandment, love your fellow as yourself. That's number 248. I made that number up. And later on, around number 462, it is much later, there is, you must love a convert. Which means when you, and we said it last week, 2 weeks ago, that the loving of a convert, you fulfill two mitzvahs. When you love an obligated, you fulfill, it's both. I'm saying you're obligated and you fulfill two mitzvahs. The loving of the convert gets you more. Now, what I thought we're going to go into the answer, this is you have to think, I'm not sure how it works now, I'm not sure. I have two obligations to love a convert. Does that mean I love him more or not? Do I love him more or I love him the same if I fulfill two obligations? Which is tied into this question. Let's go back. If I have two enemies and two friends, we're not sure if you could even do it. Because you might not love them equally or might not hate them equally. But every Jew has one obligation to love. So we said, okay, every Jew then becomes equated. Maybe that would be allowed in such a case. Then we said, okay, that only applies if everyone's loved equally, but a convert has an extra addition. Now I'm saying, you have an extra addition, but does that mean I love him more? Which would disqualify. If I have an obligation to love a Jew, and I have two obligations to love a convert, but it's the same amount of love, then it's not disqualifying. We have to think that through. I don't have a good answer. I don't know. In the end, it's the same amount. I just fulfilled two commandments. I do that many times, but a lot of times I'll do something that I get extra credit for, and sometimes the merit. That means if I eat this type of insect, we spoke about that 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, yeah, and or I eat this insect I violate four, and this insect I violate five. But I'm doing the same exact action, but yeah, this insect has five labels of negativity, and this has two. So there is such a thing as doing the same thing and getting more credit for it. If my father's my rabbi and I stand up for him, I get fulfillment of two commandments. Does that mean I love him double? You have to know. So you have to know how many kids that people have. Do you love your kids? When there's more kids, do people complain? That, oh, you know, the people against religious Jews. You got so many kids, you don't love them all. I don't know if that, I mean, a regular person will say, I love, who has one kid, yeah, I love my one kid, unbelievable. And then I have my second kid, I love my two kids equally. And I have their kid equally. So it could be everyone's equal. That means I love the convert for two reasons, but I still love them the same amount. And everyone's equated again.
Who gives that answer? That's your own rabbi. Have
an answer? That's my own answer, yeah. That's a great answer. I'm out, yeah. Now to go to Garbo's potential good answer is like this. There is an obligation to love every Jew. Absolutely. Biblical obligation, by the way. Love the convert. Actual obligation. Absolutely true. But guess what? There's an obligation when it comes to the court system. Open law, by the way. I don't know if it's biblical. You have to know the exact word. But it's definitely a law from the Shulchan Aruch. That when someone shows up to the court, at that moment, you have to have a complete blank slate. Complete blank slate. So when it comes to this mitzvah, after et kamaicha, yeah, I do love the guy. But I have to have a complete blank slate. Now, it doesn't work on my personal friend, because that's more of a difference. That's what I think you're trying to say. When I'm doing it because the Torah tells me love the guy. Really, deep down, I got to be honest. I don't like Garbo. A lot of reasons. But the Torah says love the guy. Okay, so I love the guy. Oh, Garbo's in front of my court case. Torah says, you know what? Be honest in the court case. You know what? Because right now, anyone in front of my court, I got to be honest with. Fine. But when I personally like a guy, I can't just turn that off. So what they want to say is this. I'm combining almost two answers. The love of a personal love, that's a problem. That's a problem. But a generic love might not be less love, but it's generic. I love every Jew, but that's not, again, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. That's how I got into 2 weeks ago. I love you, but I don't fulfill the mitzvah because I love you. I only fulfill the mitzvah when I love you because you're a Jew. Loving you means nothing. And we said the case, if you love a guy and then you didn't know he was Jewish, you never thought he was, you didn't know he was Jewish. And you find out 20 years later, he found out he just got the record that he's Jewish. We said last week, you did not fulfill the mitzvah. Why not? I love the guy. It's not about loving the guy. It's about loving because he's a Jew. It's about love the convert because he's a convert. So that would mean that when does it say I'm disqualified as a judge? I'm disqualified as a judge when I personally like the guy. Because I like that guy because we played ball together. Or I hate that guy. We didn't play ball together. Or the reverse, by the way. A lot of people I played ball with didn't like. Hog the ball on me. And reverse. Guys made me look good on the basketball court. Love those guys I played against. Maybe look like a star. Put those in. Keep that in. So those guys, I can't judge now. I have a personal. It's personal. But the generic of love all the Jews, which would include love the convert extra, that's generic. I'm not saying it's less love. I'm not saying whatever those words are, I'm not saying. But the obligation when it comes to becoming a judge, I'm not disqualified now. Because that's generic. So answer number one was potentially we're going to do even Stephen. Every Jew's love the same, as opposed to my personal love and not love. But that's not based on personal, not personal. It's based on the levels. Everyone's on an even playing field, all Jews together. Second answer combined with the fourth answer is going to be when the Torah obligates me to love someone, it's not a personal love. So if it's not a personal love, it doesn't apply.
I got a question.
Yes.
Okay. Judge is part of a Beit Din, right? He's found to be disqualified for that case in front of him. Now they got five more cases coming up. Is he still disqualified for all the other four cases? He's back on the bench.
Back on the bench as long as it's two strangers, yeah? Back on the bench with two strangers.
Anyway, we had a nice class tonight. I welcome everyone.